Welcome to Poker Fraud Alert Radio. This is a special being recorded on August 24th, 2024, the time right now, 12:58 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. You might wonder where I've been and why there has not been a show in a while. And I don't want to disappoint you, but this is not going to be a regular show. I don't have the ability to do that just yet. This is kind of a test to see how well I can do. If you recall from the last show, I told you I caught COVID at the World Series of Poker main event, and I had COVID from days 2 through 4. I didn't realize it at the time. I thought it was just a bad cold. Turned out it was COVID. And unfortunately, as was also the case when I recorded the last episode over a month ago, I had a cough that never got better. And we're sitting here on August 24th, 7 weeks after I caught COVID, and I still am not better as far as the cough is concerned. So I have what is known as long COVID. So for those of you that don't think long COVID exists, it does. And I've never been one in denial about long COVID. I do believe that the long COVID people are experiencing today is nowhere near as bad as the long COVID that people were getting in 2020 and 2021. But it is real. And I have a form of that right now in a cough that is not going away. So fortunately, I don't feel sick. Like, I could go outside right now and hike 5 miles if I wanted to, and I'd be fine. So I'm not sick. I just have a problem that when I talk, I have to cough easily. So I'm going to try to do this show as well as I can. I may have to mute it every so often to cough. I'll try to get that out in the archives. And I'm just going to do a one-topic show tonight to see how well I can do. It is unfortunate that someone who's known for doing long internet radio shows has a vocal issue in that I cough when I talk. So it kind of comes on and off, too. It's one of these things where I can talk a while, it won't happen, and then other times I say a little bit and I go into a coughing fit. So it kind of sucks. The good news is I don't feel sick, and other than that, I'm fine, but I don't know when this is going to go away. It's just not improving. But anyway, we'll try. We'll see how it goes, and this will be in the archive like a normal show. It just is not going to be very long. It's only going to be one topic. So what is that topic going to be? Well, we're going to revisit a topic that we discussed on a previous show, because there's more to say about it, and I think it's pretty interesting. And this is about a new poker site that doesn't quite exist yet. It's still being developed. It's called Phenom Poker. And I talked about this back in January or February. So this goes back to the beginning of the year. And I was already skeptical of it when it was announced. But they're using an interesting marketing strategy. And I discussed that last time too. In what they're doing is they're finding pros, poker pros, who at least have somewhat of a name. I'm not talking about the huge name pros, but people who you probably would know of if you follow poker, especially poker Twitter, but even poker in general. These are name players, albeit not all of them really big names. Some of them are bigger than others. The original roster of people that were signed up to be pros were Joe Chiang, Ari Engel, who is a regular listener to the show, Brian Rast, he's probably the biggest name of the whole bunch, Sergio Aido, Eric Baldwin, Chris Hunichen, Justin Young, and Angela Jordison. Now, nothing against any of these people. I know some of them have had some controversy in the past. Ari Engel definitely hasn't. But some of them have had some controversy before. But none of them are people that have been, like, really in major controversy. It's not like these are known cheaters or anything like that. So, I mean, this roster of pros is fine, but the way that they're being utilized is a little bit different. Because instead of just being pros on the site who promote events and occasionally tweet about it, and their picture and story is up on the website, and sometimes they'll play in events on the site, and sometimes they'll play in the cash games on the site, and you can play with them. I mean, that's all old school stuff that goes back to the 2000s. Here, it's the pros who are being asked to basically introduce the public to Phenom Poker, and not just introduce it in a manner in which They're just saying, hey, this is a new poker site. But basically, these pros are coming forward and saying, this is a new innovative poker site that is something you can trust much more than any other site. This is the way, this is the new way that poker sites are going to be run. And it's going to be safer for all players. You control all your money. I really believe in them, etc., etc. Phantom Poker is yet another crypto-based poker site. Obviously, that's nothing new. Crypto-based poker sites go all the way back to the early 2010s. This one has some gimmicks to it. One gimmick, which they claim is something new that hasn't been done before, actually has. And that is the players of the site, instead of getting rake back, become, quote, owners. So they get a token that's distributed to them as they play. And the more tokens they accumulate, the more ownership they have in Phantom Poker. And then supposedly, you know, they get their share of profits, and then they get voting rights, etc., etc. And we discussed all this before. Some people are saying that the token represents illegal securities and could be an SEC violation in the U.S., which is very possible. But that's kind of focusing on the wrong thing right now. Because there's a very simple question when it comes to Phantom Poker. And if you've been looking at poker Twitter recently, you'll probably see that there's been a lot of controversy about Phantom Poker and the owner of Phantom Poker, who we didn't discuss before. In fact, I didn't even know who he was when I discussed Phantom Poker last on the show. But now I do know who he is, and he's got somewhat of a backstory too, and not a completely clean one. And when I say not completely clean, I don't mean that he's a known scammer or a cheater. He's nothing like that, but he does have a bit of a controversial history, and one that I wasn't aware of. And it actually doesn't have to do with poker. But I'll get to that shortly. Anyway, Phantom Poker, just very quickly to describe it, is an online poker site that is crypto-based, and the main gimmick with it is that they're not holding any of your money. That what you do is you have your own wallet, your own crypto wallets, and then a smart contract manages the transfer of what's in your wallet to the table. And then when you get up from the table, whatever you've won or lost, plus whatever you sat with, goes back into your wallet, and the site does not directly manage it. So this way, you don't have to worry about them paying you. So what is a smart contract? Well, a smart contract is a protocol on a blockchain which executes upon meeting certain criteria. And this happens automatically without a human being or even an outside system having to make decisions whether that criteria has been met. So it's important because they can't be violated. Once the criteria of a smart contract is set, then it automatically completes when that criteria is met. And in Phantom Poker's case, the smart contracts hold up the player's crypto while they're at the table and then returns them their crypto, you know, plus and minus any wins or losses, when they leave the table. So Phantom Poker calls itself trustless, meaning that you don't have to trust them because they are never holding your money. So unlike all the other online poker sites you've played on, including the crypto sites that are out there, they're all holding your money and you have to deposit and withdraw. Here on Phantom Poker, you don't. The smart contract manages everything and your money is only held up while you're actually playing, and once you get up from the table, it's all back in your wallet. So from that standpoint, that sounds very nice. And when they use the term trustless, it doesn't mean you can't trust them. It means you don't have to trust them. It means that it all happens on its own, and basically there's no way you can get ripped off. So you control your own funds, and the long-standing problem that has plagued poker sites since their inception of poker sites just going under and you never getting paid, that's not going to be a problem. And also the problem of slow paying won't happen. You'll get your crypto immediately when you stand up from the table. So these are good things. The problem is that there's a lot of issues with the way they're going to implement Phantom Poker, including this whole smart contract and trustless situation where you're managing your own funds. I discussed this last time, and I will discuss it again, because I really think that people are missing the point as to what is the biggest problem with Phantom Poker. And we will get to that. But anyway, I don't want to repeat the old segment. If you want to hear the old segment, it's near the beginning of the year, sometime like late January, early February. I don't feel like looking it up now, but sometime around there, I did a fairly lengthy segment of this. Now, Jason Moe is a former poker pro who then got into crypto and did extremely well. Very smart guy, very sharp guy, always been very opinionated and brash. So if he has something to say, he's going to say it. He doesn't care if it offends you. He's just a guy who says what he's thinking. And he decided that he's going to speak out about Phantom Poker. He just doesn't like the whole idea. He thinks that they are exaggerating how innovative they are. He thinks they've got a lot of potential flaws. He thinks that they also have a setup that makes it easy for bad actors to exploit people who don't know crypto very well. So it's not necessarily that Phantom Poker itself will be hacked, but the whole crypto structure of it, that people can easily be phished or tricked into entering smart contracts that are not Phantom Poker's contracts and basically have their crypto stolen. Basically, he's saying that people who are going to use the site aren't going to understand the way it all works from a technical standpoint, and they're going to be vulnerable as far as being tricked out of their crypto, which is a good point. And he had a lot of other criticisms as well. He also brought up a good point regarding the voting. Remember I said each, quote, owner, you remember you get these tokens that allow you to be a part owner of the site as you play, that even though the player owners get voting rights, Jason Moe pointed out at the time that that is pretty meaningless because they're not going to give out more than 50% of the tokens to the players. The other 50% is retained by site ownership. So it's going to be 50% existing site ownership and 50% players at most. So what Jason mentioned is that if the owners want to do something, the actual site owners, they automatically will have 50% of the vote. And then all it takes is one vote of all the players, of all the tokens given out, just one vote, one player with one token has a vote, and it'll be 50% plus one, and then the majority rules. So it's pretty meaningless. A simple way of putting it is, let's say I own something, and I say, okay, I'm going to give out ownership to 10,000 people. You're going to all split it. So it's going to be 50% me, and the rest of you are all going to split the other 50% 10,000 ways. But you all have voting rights on any decision I make. Well, the problem is, when I make a decision, I'm already 50%, so all I need is one person out of those 10,000 to vote my way, and then I've got the majority. So basically, any decision I make will stand with that model, unless all 10,000 out of 10,000 vote against me, which would never happen. So that's what Jason Moe was saying here. It's just a dumb gimmick, and he's right. And in addition, he didn't say this, but I'm saying it, this model was tried before with a site called PokerShare, which was a skin of UB back in the 2000s, and it was a dumb gimmick, and nobody was a real owner, and no one ever got anything from their, quote, ownership, including me. So, whole thing's dumb. But they just kept signing pro after pro after pro, and it was interesting. It was an interesting phenomenon, because you had people showing up on Twitter, or showing up on Twitter where they already are every day, and tweeting about how great Phantom Poker is going to be, how it's the future of poker, how they really trust it, how they really stand behind it, and they don't know what they're saying. They don't understand it. Why are they doing this? Because they've been given a piece. They've all been given a piece of equity in Phantom Poker. So basically, the deal is promote it. Promote it in the way we're asking you to promote it. And then you have this much ownership and you'll get this much percent of the profits if there ever are any. So these pros figure, okay, well, this seems good. Like these pros are not doing it maliciously. These pros are not saying, well, screw the public, screw fellow players. We know this site is a scam. We're going to promote it anyway. These players don't think it's a scam. In fact, these players probably mostly believe what they're tweeting. They're exaggerating about how excited they are, but they don't think they're saying things they don't believe. they've been given a speech, and they just take the speech at face value. And this can easily happen if it's a subject you just don't know that much about. It's easy to believe something if someone tells you about a subject and they're proclaiming to be an expert in that subject, and you have no reason to doubt they are, and you don't know that much about the subject. So to you, everything seems to add up, everything seems to make sense. And so then you repeat it because you heard it from someone credible. And if it turns out that the person who is telling you this was full of crap, then you're repeating something that's bullshit and you don't realize it. So that's kind of what's happening here. So I don't really blame these pros that much, but it's never a good idea to ever endorse something from the standpoint of, I believe in this, this is the future, this is the way, when you don't really understand fully what you're endorsing. And I don't think very many of the people who are promoting this on Twitter understand it, because these are not known to be crypto people. And you have to be a crypto person, and you also have to be very knowledgeable about online poker and the issues that plague online poker in order to judge this as well. Fortunately, I have experience in both areas. I'm not as experienced in crypto or knowledgeable in crypto as someone like Jason Moe, but I do know a good deal about it. And I know a whole lot about online poker and the industry and, of course, the scams and the problems that occur in online poker. So there's few people in the poker community who can discuss that better than I can, as you guys probably know. So I'm a good one to judge this. And I can tell you, and I have nothing against Phantom Poker. I didn't know the owner. I still don't know him. I've read about him, but you know, there's nothing against him. I don't even know the guy. But this is not going to work out. And it has a lot of problems. So even if it does work out, that's going to be even worse, because there's going to be a lot of potential issues that they just cannot have an answer for the way it's designed. Alec Torelli jumped on that train. On August 15th, 2024, this is what Alec Torelli tweeted. The future of poker is here. Phantom Poker is launching within the next month and is the first poker site in history to make every player an owner. Well, I already talked about that. Again, your ownership there is meaningless as far as making decisions, and it won't really get you anything unless the thing makes a profit. So these people, they're just taking a free roll, basically. It's built by the players for the players and is governed by the whole poker community, including you. No, it's not. For the reason that I just stated, it's not governed by anyone except the owner. Because the owner retains 50% voting rights. I don't know if it's a single owner or an ownership group. I know there's one guy who's the main founder, but yeah, maybe there's others who make up that 50%. I don't know if these pros make up that 50%, but whatever it is, 50% of the original ownership structure will be voting, and then the players will be voting the other 50%. So basically what they say is meaningless. So that's just a dumb gimmick. Going on, he says, here's everything you need. Phantom Poker will launch with 30 poker variants and soon will be expanding to tournaments and to allow for private games. We will spread classics such as No Limit Texas Hold'em and Pot Limit Omaha, of course, but also more esoteric games like Open Face Chinese Poker and Badouki. See the sleek-looking lobby below, and then he posted a picture of the lobby. So I guess they're a lot further along now with being close to launch than when I talked about it earlier this year. Phantom leverages the blockchain technology to distribute rakeback as tokens, which represent equity in the site. Playing makes you an owner with voting power. A wallet that you control is automatically created when you make an account, which you can fund in a few clicks. 50% of the rake is distributed to token holders. You can see the token price at launch is 50 cents, but that will vary depending on how much rake the site generates. More players equals more rake equals higher token price. You can sell tokens back to the Phantom Treasury at any time. Now, let me stop here. That's new information. I knew about the tokens going to people as kind of like rake back, and I knew they're supposed to have some value and ownership, but they're basically saying that each token you're going to get is 50 cents, and at any time you can just cash it in. You can just say to Phantom, here, take it back. I want 50 cents per token. Or if the value goes up, I want, you know, whatever you're giving per token. Or you can just hold them and hope they go up in value. That's a new thing. I had thought before that that you're just going to be getting a profit distribution every so often. I guess it's done through these tokens where you can exchange them anytime. Again, some people are claiming this represents illegal securities and an SEC violation. That might be true, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because it's just not that important. What's important here is the flaws of the site, but we'll go on. Imagine you're an early player on Phenom, and by the way, I know some people call it Phenom, but I like calling it Phenom. I don't care. And earn tokens at 50 cents. We grow, and now they're worth 250. He's just giving a hypothetical. If you earn 20% rake back and tokens five times, that's really 100% hold. I don't know what he's trying to say here. I call this the flywheel phenomenon, Phenomics, and I believe it's going to be explosive for growth. I don't know if they're also giving rake back. I don't know. It's not, again, this isn't that important. He's trying to make it sound like basically you're getting all your rake back in some way, which of course is not possible. There's no way that what's being distributed to the players is all of the rake in some form or another, and they're making no money. Obviously, that's not happening. Phenom is bringing back an epic reward system like you used to see back in the glory days of online poker. We have five tiers to incentivize and reward our most loyal regs, meaning regular players. Phenom has gamified the online experience through fun personalized touches like avatars. Upload a photo and choose from 100-plus personalized settings to have a look-alike caricature. So he shows an example of this where you can basically upload a photo of yourself and then pick what clothes you're wearing, and it makes kind of like a lifelike-looking person that will be your avatar. It looks kind of cool. Kind of a more advanced version of what used to be on True Poker back in 2001. So that part's kind of cool. Not important, but kind of fun. Whatever. Then, to join the wait list, he writes, and be the first to know when Phenom launches, visit blahblah.com. I don't want to promote them, so I'm not going to give you the address, but he gives it out there. You'll get 100 free tokens, too. Phenom also has amazing incentives for those who sign up players. If that's you, DM me, quote, agent, and I'll get you to set up. So he is even asking who wants to be an agent, who wants to recruit other people here and get further rewards. So they've got some kind of agent model going on there, or at the very least, affiliates. But let's cut through the BS here. I mean, people started, of course, arguing with him as what's been happening every time there's these Phenom ads where there's some who are skeptical of it and then start arguing with the pro, or more recently start arguing with the Phenom owner. So I made a comment. I made a comment back to Alec Torelli, and he didn't respond, but I got an answer back from the official Phenom Poker account, which presumably is run by the owner. So I said, I did a write-up in January questioning various flawed aspects of Phenom's plan, especially the complete lack of ability to punish cheaters who can create unlimited new accounts after being banned. Please read this post and respond. And I put a link to my Poker Fraud Alert thread about it, which you can find in the Poker Community Discussion Forum on Poker Fraud Alert. So before I go on and tell you how they responded, here's my biggest issue with Phenom Poker. And for some reason, I seem to be the only person who's saying this. Jason Moe, who's a very smart guy, he is not focusing on this. He's focusing on a lot of the technical crypto aspect of it, a lot of the flaws from that direction. And he has a point with a lot of what he's bringing up. But all of that is inconsequential compared to the flaw I pointed out. And this isn't a competition. I'm just saying that the very, very basic structure of what they're doing is incredibly flawed. And it makes it to where the site will be a disaster if it ever succeeds. The problem is, if everybody manages their own funds, and the site has no ability to ever seize funds from players, guess what? That's a very bad thing. It's good for the honest player. It's good if you know you're never going to cheat, you're never going to use bots, you're never going to use RTA, which is real-time assistance. You're always going to follow the rules, be a good player from the standpoint of following rules and not doing anything unethical, not shoot angles, not multi-account, not collude. If you're a good boy, then that's good for you that you manage your own funds because you don't have to cash out. You don't have to count on them having your money. You don't have to worry about being unfairly banned. That's true. But what if you're a bad actor? What if you're a bad boy? Then what? Well, then it's not good. It's kind of like a society where they have no power to put you in prison or punish you in any way for breaking the law. That may be good from the standpoint of you'll never get unfairly accused or unfairly imprisoned, but it would be a terrible place to live because the criminals would run wild. They would absolutely run wild and destroy society. Can you imagine living in a place where the criminals all know that they can break the law as much as they want and they can never be punished? That, unfortunately, is Phenom Poker. Because if you are always holding your own funds, then they can never seize your funds, no matter what you do. In fact, you could type in the chat, if there is a chat, I don't know if there's a chat, you could type in the chat, hey everybody, guess what I'm doing right now? I'm using RTA, I'm colluding with my friends, I'm also attempting to hack the system and maybe be able to see the whole cards, and I'm also running a bot network, and all the bots are colluding with one another. I'm doing it, and in case you think I'm joking, I'm happy to prove it to anybody that I'm doing it. What are you going to do about it? You could type that in chat, and they could not do anything to you other than throw you off the table. But if they threw you off the table, guess what? You would still get your money because of the smart contract. So even if you announced you're cheating, even if you told them how you're cheating, you would still get to walk away with every penny. Every penny you have in front of you, you'd walk away with. Doesn't matter if you want it fairly or unfairly. You'd get to walk away with it. That's the problem. They can't punish anybody. All they can do is ban people. But they can't take money from people. And that's very, very bad. Again, going back to the society example, say you lived in a city where they absolutely, positively could not and would not ever punish anyone for breaking the law, even murder. The worst they would do is put you on a bus out of town and drop you off somewhere and say, don't come back. That's basically what Phenom Poker can do. All they can do is ban you. You'll get your funds. And then, of course, you could make another account. And until they catch you on the next account, then you can keep playing and cheating. And then when they catch that one, they'll ban you and you'll get your funds back. And then you can make a third account. You can just keep doing this over and over and over again. Just keep coming back and back and back because there's no downside. There's no risk. There's no punishment. That's a gigantic problem. You can't have a poker site like that where they cannot punish cheaters. Now you might say, well, wait a minute though. How often do cheaters actually get punished on other poker sites? You hear all these stories about these bot networks where by the time they catch the bot networks that they've withdrawn most of the money that they've cheated with. Maybe a little gets seized, but a lot never gets seized and they'll never get to. So what's the difference? Well, there's a huge difference here because, number one, they can't seize anything here. There's actually a zero chance that they can seize anything. And number two, there's no risk in the bad actors coming back. Because let's take something like ACR. Let's say on ACR, there's a big bot network out of Belarus, and it gets caught. And let's say they manage to seize back 10% of the money that was won through the bot network. Well, that's not wonderful because 90% of the money was cashed out already, and there's nothing further they can do, and they can distribute the 10% back to the players, but, you know, it's still kind of crappy. But what if the ones running that bot network want to come back to ACR and do it again? Well, they better hide themselves real well, because if ACR notices the same people are back, then they can ban them right after they deposit and take that money too. See, it takes money to make money in poker, even if you're cheating. So anytime that you load money onto a poker site to cheat, you run the risk that you will not get your initial deposit back. It's not just running the risk that you won't get your winnings. You also may lose your initial deposit because if they catch you cheating or if you've been banned before for cheating and you've come back, then they will just close your account and take every bit of your money. So that is a risk as a cheater, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. That's a downside. That's the biggest downside to cheating on these online poker sites, is that once you've been caught, that one, they'll take whatever funds they can take. And two, if you come back, they'll just take whatever you deposit on there. You may not even get a chance to start winning. So prospective cheaters have to figure that in. Do we want to continue? Do we want to take the risk to come back to a site where we've been banned? Because if we get caught, they may take our money before we can even play. So maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should go hit some other site. And these are discussions that they really do have in these cheating networks. The people running these cheating rings, they do assess their risk of whether they should come back to a site that has thrown them off. They do assess the risk of whether they're going to get caught before they can withdraw. They're constantly assessing risk and wondering, should we bother with this site, or should we bother to try to do it again if we've already done it and got caught, if the downside might be bigger than the potential upside. So that's a very big disincentive for these cheaters. It doesn't stop them from existing. I'm not saying that there's no cheating on other sites. That would be absurd for me to say. But it is something that holds it back a lot. Much like the fact that there are police, the fact that there are prisons, the fact that there are laws that get enforced in every jurisdiction in the United States, that is a disincentive to criminals. That doesn't mean we have no crime, but it does mean we have a lot less crime than if there were absolutely no punishment for anybody at any time for breaking any law. That would descend society into chaos if it were like that. So this is a huge, huge, huge problem, and I can't stress that enough. And that is a problem of such large magnitude that it dwarfs everything else everyone's talking about. With that being the case, it doesn't matter if the token is an SEC violation. It doesn't matter if this site is technically illegal in the U.S., which I think it probably is, even though they're saying it isn't. It doesn't matter all of the crypto issues and security vulnerabilities that Jason Moe is bringing up. Those might be true, but those pale in comparison in seriousness to this. The only thing that's going to stop this from happening would be if Phantom Poker fails. If just nobody plays there, then the cheaters aren't going to target it. But if it becomes an active site, you better believe that all the cheating rings in the world are going to descend upon Phantom Poker, because they have absolutely zero downside not to. So this is what Phantom Poker said back when I said that there's a complete lack of ability to punish cheaters and that they can create unlimited new accounts after being banned. Phantom Poker wrote back to me on August 16th. This is misinformation. We do KYC, meaning know your customer, on every player, and we will take a very aggressive stance on any form of cheating, including banning bad actors who will be unable to create multiple accounts with the same identity. So I said, okay, but how effective are cheating bans when you can't ever confiscate any money? That's the biggest flaw here. Even if you have a robust KYC, know your customer, procedure, very little downside for cheating rings operating there with thousands of identities to use. So then he responded saying, one, we aren't opening data to third-party software, making it very difficult to use things like RTA to cheat. Now, I have no idea why he's talking about RTA here. I wasn't saying this can be abused by those who are using real-time assistance. I'm not discussing real-time assistance. That's, again, not the concern here. So I don't know why he's throwing that in. Number two, hear what you're saying about fund confiscation, but you can tell, can you tell us how many funds have been confiscated by other sites and returned to players? No. Well, I can't tell you exactly, but it happens all the time. Yes, other sites do confiscate funds from cheaters and return them to players. Ignition, Bovada does it. ACR does it. Like, yes, they do it. So I don't know why you're saying that doesn't happen. He said, we have no idea, but we do know the strategy isn't working. Well, yeah, it's not working perfectly, but it's going to work a lot better than not being able to do it at all. Number three, our house rules include a provision that allows us to publicly release the identity of people caught cheating. This is more of a deterrent than risk of losing some of the gains won by cheating. Okay, let me stop there. He said a little bit more, but let me address this. He's saying that they're going to publicly release the identity of those that were caught cheating there. And this is going to be a much bigger deterrent, he claims, than just losing some of the funds that are on the site that the cheaters still have on there. That is completely false. Completely and utterly false. You might care about your reputation, and I care about my reputation. And so, yeah, it would bother me if someone were to put out on social media that I cheat in poker with compelling information that I do. I don't cheat in poker, but if I did, yeah, it would hurt me to have that put out there. And then anytime someone Googles my name, they'll see my name and cheating in poker, and it'll be embarrassing. And it'll also be unpleasant to see people at the World Series of Poker and things like that. So, yeah, I wouldn't want that. I don't cheat, so this will never happen to me. But if I did, yeah, that would be unpleasant for me. However, the cheating rings are not really people like you or I. The cheating rings tend to operate outside the U.S. They operate in places like Eastern Europe. And the cheaters there are not concerned with their Twitter reputation or their poker reputation or how people are going to look at them at the World Series of Poker. These people are interested in putting food on the table. The people who participate in these rings tend to be poor. They tend to be poor people who live in Eastern Europe or somewhere like that. And they're given an opportunity to use their identity as part of a cheating ring. They may not even be playing. They just use their identity for it and somebody else plays for them. So Sergei Barnikov from Belarus is not going to care if it's publicized that he was a cheater. He's not going to care one bit. It's not going to matter to him. It's not going to affect his life one bit. So this is meaningless. These big cheating rings use identities of people who really aren't going to care if their names are exposed. So that's not going to be a deterrent. The deterrent is money being confiscated. So he goes on to say, there's no perfect solutions, but we have ample history of what other sites are doing and not doing, and we are taking a different approach and have different priorities. Well, no, you're taking a different approach to the whole site, and you either didn't think about or didn't care about this major, major flaw. So I'm not even saying that the Phenom Poker owner is handling this wrong. He just designed a site that has a major flaw that there is no solution to. So if someone came to me and said, Todd, what's your solution to this? I'd say, there isn't one. The way that this site is designed, where everybody controls their own funds and there's no way to seize funds from anybody, is a site you should not be playing on. It is a site that is not safe. It's a site that will never be safe for the reasons I have already outlined. He went on to write, we are more aligned with a community who will share ownership and say in the site. No. They're not going to have say in the site. And if they do, that doesn't solve this problem. If the community has suggestions and or changes to these policies they want to implement, they can simply vote for the change they want. No, they can't, because there's no way to change this. Because the whole backbone of the site is everybody managing their own funds. That's the beauty of a community-owned platform. So you see what he's trying to do here. You see he's trying to make it look like that all the players have a say, that the community can direct itself, the players know best, blah, blah, blah. It's all meaningless when you have this major flaw in the site. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. There's no way around it. You can try to talk your way around it. There's no way around it. So they're completely missing the point, probably intentionally. In the meantime, Jason Moe was absolutely clobbering them on Twitter. On August 19th, he wrote, just a PSA, meaning public service announcement, everyone shilling Phenom Poker has absolutely no clue what they are talking about. Attempted to discuss this months ago, the DM, meaning direct message convos, were hilariously bad. I think best case, they get mediocre volume, which I agree with. They're never going to get volume. It's just too complicated for the average user to even understand. At worst, it gets exploited and players lose all their money. Someone prove me wrong. Basically, he's saying the whole way that this site is set up from a technical standpoint also is not very secure. And we'll talk about some of this in more detail very shortly. He writes, the biggest problem with the model is it's resource-intensive if done with security, which is not conducive to a poker game. If the crypto byte length is high, since the message size increases and has to be relayed to all users, it's as if we didn't look into this in 2018 and already they're like 7 years late to the party. So for those of you who are retardios, simple explanation. Hole cards need to be encrypted, but also need to be sent to every player by every player. Level of encryption adds to data that requires to be sent between players. Limitations on latency and also block size and speed make it really impossible to do on-chain. Let me stop right there. What he's trying to say here to the retardios, I guess you're probably retardio because I bet you didn't understand that much of his explanation there. But a simpler explanation for double retardios, because even the retardio explanation is something most people are not going to understand. But the double retardios, if you want to know what he's trying to say, is that the way it's being implemented is that there's not one central server that's sending everything to everyone. So it's basically something that's being sent to every player by every player. And then there's encryption there. And he's just basically saying there's no way all this could be sent fast enough to run a poker game. There's just too much encrypted data to send too quickly. So he's saying this is never going to work. He said he can't even understand how they're able to send all this data so fast, especially some people don't have fast connections. That's basically what he's saying. There's too much to be sending if this is really all run on chain. So he's thinking that some of this must be run by Phantom Poker, such as the random number generator. Some of this actually has to be running on one of their servers, and they're not being upfront about that. He says they don't know their implementation or their estimations for data requirements. I just know how intense they are. You require players to do 30-plus time real-time updates during a hand, depending on number of players. I could go on and on about the issues, but I'd just be talking to myself. I would love to hear some counterpoints from the Phantom Chillers, but I'd bet approximately none of them understand any of this in the first place. So if you don't understand any of this, don't worry about it. I'll try to just explain this in plain English for those that don't know crypto very well. Because I'll admit, I'm even one of the retardios. I don't fully understand everything he's talking about here because he's getting very technical about it and not really explaining very well, like for those that are not as knowledgeable as he is, which is just about everybody. But I do understand a lot of it. So bear with me here. I'll try to explain it. Basically, Jason's saying that there's simply too much data to be sent per hand between all the players for the random number generator to work on the blockchain. And then he's saying that if they are going to do this off-chain, if they are doing this on their server, you basically have to trust their methodology, and there's no proof it works. Because he's saying that the only way this could really be something that is all running on the blockchain and that people could then use for proof of concept to see that the random number generator is secure and that it is working properly is if it's all on-chain to where everyone can examine it. But since there's no way it could be, since this would require too much data to be sent, they must be doing something in the background, which makes it no better than any other random number generator by any other poker site that's also doing it on their own servers. And he's saying in some cases, this could be worse. So then the owner gets involved. This is Matt Valeo, V-A-L-E-O. He appears to be the main owner and CEO of Phantom Poker. He said they were trying to implement it on-chain, referring to his developers. It was an impossible task back then, even now too resource-intensive for on-chain. Phantom Poker doesn't implement this on-chain. Jason Moe says back, it's pointless if it's not on-chain. The entire point is to be able to go back and check previous hash data to confirm that the random number generator works. Otherwise, you just use a different type of random number generator. And Vallejo says back, it's not the entire point. It's still a decentralized shuffle that if implemented correctly, removes the possibility of a single person or admin being able to decrypt the deck or view real-time hole card info, a major vulnerability of existing random number generators. So Jason Moe responds back, no, it is the entire point. If it's done off-chain, it's not decentralized and still has single points of failure, which I'll explain shortly what he means by that. And it doesn't do anything because there's no way for individual users to backtest previous hands. You can feed whatever data you want to prove the shuffle wasn't rigged post-hand. There's no way to confirm without hash data. Honestly, the more you talk, the more incompetent you sound. Explain to me how a shuffle that's done off-chain is any different than an encrypted random number generated algorithm that is close to being completely random. Hint, they are the same. Encrypting an algorithm outputs is no different than using encrypting player data and then using a variation of Shamir's secret as the random number generator. Instead of using an algorithm, you're using user inputs as an algorithm. The point of failure of cheating is the outputs, not the input data. My rates are $10,000 an hour in case you need to hire someone that has a basic understanding of how any of this stuff works. Matt Vallejo said back, there's no pride barrier here for me. You're a smart guy, and if you're genuinely interested in helping us make the safest site for the players, we welcome your input and help. Jason basically said, no, if you want to hire me, yes, I'm not doing free work for you. But what was he talking about? What was all the stuff that Jason Moe was saying? Jason Moe was basically saying that if they're doing the shuffle off-chain, not on the blockchain, then everything what they're doing becomes pointless. Because the way that Phantom Poker claims they're doing it is that they're receiving certain inputs for the random number generator from each user. And this way, no one user or even admin has the keys to the random number generator, that they can't recreate it if the inputs to it, which are basically all contributing to how the shuffle occurs, are coming from each user individually. So if each person is sending something and it's encrypted, then there's no one entity that has access to all of that and basically can't recreate the random number generator. So he's claiming that is something that is good. And Jason Moe saying no, because you're just introducing a new security flaw. What you're doing is you're allowing anybody who can decrypt that data, now they can potentially recreate the random number generator and cheat, whereas if you just do all of this off-chain, then nobody would have any visibility into these inputs and could not reverse engineer it. So you're actually making it worse. You're actually making it to where there's more points of failure to where people can reverse engineer your random number generator compared to a regular site that's running today. So it's a good point. Okay, so now if you're tired of all the nerdy crypto talk, we'll get away from that. And we'll get to a guy who definitely is no crypto expert that jumped into this, and that's Sean Deeb. Sean Deeb is not technical at all. Sean Deeb is not going to pretend to be technical in this discussion. He is going to attack this from a different standpoint. He says, curious, for those who have joined Phantom Poker, have you ever asked him, meaning the CEO, why he changed his name from Matt Herrera to Matt Vallejo, and why the previous companies he was part of, like PokerStake, can't be found on the internet, and Documo, which is another one of the companies that he started, the last one recently had a dispute with him, and it was a dispute regarding the domains. Matt Vallejo came back saying, I was public about changing my name, it was no secret. Herrera was the name I was given when I was legally adopted. I don't have relationship with those people anymore, so I decided to change my name legally 5 years ago. What previous company that I was part of can't be found on the internet? What are you talking about? LOL, a dispute? I stepped down as CEO of Documo after 8 years. I personally owned the domain name, so they filed that they should own those domains. I transferred those domains to them without any fight or dispute. Maybe read the document next time. Now, I don't know about this Documo, but we'll ignore that for the moment. It is interesting that he was adopted by a family named Herrera, and now he doesn't have a relationship with his adoptive parents, so he went to the name Vallejo, which I don't know where that name came from. But people were criticizing him, saying he's someone who doesn't have a relationship with his parents, and how can he just walk away from them like that, and what a piece of shit. I won't judge him like that. You can have shitty parents. It's possible. You can have shitty biological parents. You can have shitty adoptive parents, and it's easier to walk away from shitty adoptive parents. If you had shitty adoptive parents and they treated you crappy, and you're like, okay, well, why do I keep in contact with these people? They didn't treat me well when I was growing up, and they're not related to me, so F them. So it's a lot easier to walk away from adoptive parents if they're shitty, but I've known people even walk away from biological parents that are shitty. I know a guy who did walk away from his adoptive parents, not someone in poker, and he was reasonable to do so. They just weren't that nice to him growing up, and he just kind of decided he doesn't want a relationship with them anymore, and I understood it. So I won't judge Matt Vallejo on that. The name change may or may not have had to do with that. Maybe it is to hide some kind of bad Google results or whatever on researching him, but whatever. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. Sean Deeb then said it was Poker Vault, the one he's referring to, that nothing can be found about it. Matt Vallejo said back, Poker Vault was not a, quote, company. It was a project I worked on like 8 years ago. It didn't make past the earliest stages for a variety of reasons, the biggest being the regulatory burden and the cost to take it forward. It was going to cost millions and take years to get a compliant product to market, and keep that in mind there. I didn't have that kind of money back then, so I informed everyone involved of what was going on and stopped working on it. I had personal time and money invested. It's never fun to walk away from a project or idea, but that's the reality of being an entrepreneur sometimes. Craig, and we'll get to Craig in a second, could have told you everything himself, but instead he gives the partial story to you, and that's why you're woefully uninformed. The people working at Phenom are eyes wide open on all this stuff. And Sean Deeb just responded back with a one-liner. It's a pretty good one-liner, too. He says, if you thought all those issues were a problem back then, LOL at launching this poker site. Which is a good point. It's a really good point. If there were regulatory issues launching whatever this poker vault was 8 years ago, like, okay, now how's Phenom Poker going to launch then? Because they're also going to have regulatory issues. The bottom line is Phenom Poker is a gambling site that's going to be running in the U.S. They are going to take U.S. players. That is against U.S. law. Just because it's crypto and you're loading on your own funds and then taking back off your own funds and they're not holding it, that doesn't make it to where it's legal. All the three elements of gambling are there, which is chance, consideration, and prize. Those are all there. This is not like a home game where no rake is taken. There is going to be a rake taken. So I don't know what the hell he thinks he's going to do to get this allowed in the U.S., but he seems to think it's legal. So Sean Deeb's basically saying, if you thought the regulatory issues on this poker vault, whatever that was, were stopping you 8 years ago, then you're going to fail with this too. This is going to be even harder. That's a good point. So then this Craig joined in. His name is Craig Chait, or Chait. I don't know how you say his name. C-H-A-I-T. He said, since you used my name, I'll respond. And I don't know who this guy is, by the way, but he was brought up, so I'm going to read what he has to say. Since you used my name, I'll respond. It wasn't a company. You had a logo and a website for it. When you took investments, you had no idea about the compliance and regulatory issues that may come up or how much money you would need to raise. What you told me was you couldn't spend any more time on the quote project because you had a family to take care of and you needed to focus on your other company, I think Documo, which was generating revenues. I think you were options trading at the time during earnings season, and you were buried from that from some bad calls, referring to option calls. So you abandoned that project to focus on the other one, never mentioned anything about needing more money for Poker Vault, just compliance issues, which you will also have with Phenom, just like Deep said, and couldn't spend time on it anymore. Good luck. So then Vallejo said back, no, that's just a lie. We had many calls, and I told you a path forward for Poker Vault needed a lot more funding. I just couldn't keep working on something that didn't have a realistic path forward while earning no money from it. Yes, I was also working on Documo, which already had revenue. You knew that from the beginning. It was growing. I was also trading. I've been trading for 20 years. Not sure what that has to do with any of this. So, okay, I'm getting near the end of this. I just want to kind of finish off on this. This is not a long show, as I said. I just want to kind of cover this topic as kind of a test show to see how I'm doing with the cough. And the answer is I actually haven't been that bad. I've coughed a few times and hit the mute button. But it's kind of encouraging. Maybe I'll do a show again pretty soon. Anyway, if you listen to all of this, what's your impression of this Matt Vallejo guy? Is this someone that you think is running a lot of successful businesses? No. It seems like every business he runs falls apart in some way. Either he leaves or never gets off the ground, and there's always some excuse. And I'm sure you've known people like that. Just guys who call themselves entrepreneurs, and they start business after business, and it's always the greatest of great ideas, and they solicit investments, and it seems like it's going to be a huge thing, and they have every reason why you should trust them and trust their idea. And then, oh, we have this problem. Oh, we have that problem. Oh, I don't have time anymore. Oh, you know, we ran into this brick wall. We have to stop. I'm sorry. And then the whole thing falls apart. I've known guys like this. I've known dreamers like this. And I'm not even saying dreamers like in a good way. I mean, like, just people who get a wild hair up their ass and think they're going to start a company with some kind of supposedly groundbreaking idea, which is very flawed from the start, that get people to buy the pitch, invest money, whole thing never gets off the ground, and then they have nothing but excuses. That's kind of what I'm getting from this guy. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, I didn't research any of this. I didn't research Documo or Poker Vault or any of that stuff. I'm just saying that this is how it comes off to me. I'm not saying this guy's a scammer. I'm just saying that it just seems like this guy has a trail of companies that he's either left or they never got off the ground, or he claimed issues stopped them. And honestly, this one, if I had to predict the future, if someone said, okay, the year's 2030 now, tell us what happened to Phenom Poker, I would say, It never happened. Never got off the ground. It started. It was a fail site. Barely had any players. Nobody liked it. It just didn't have the traffic. And it went away. That's 2030 Dandruff telling 2024 Dandruff how Phantom Poker went. And I bet when I go check this in 2030, I'll have been correct. That would surprise me if it isn't the case when I'm looking back on this in 6 years. So I don't think you're risking anything so much. As long as you're knowledgeable enough about crypto to not get scammed or tricked in some way to give away your crypto, as Jason Moe has previously pointed out might happen if the site gets big. As long as you're competent with making sure you don't fall for any of that, for any phishing scams, then, yeah, you're not going to get cheated in the traditional sense, most likely. I mean, yeah, the random number generator may be hackable, but I think it would probably be a big task to do. And maybe not even possible, depending on how good their encryption is. I think it's just going to be a dead site. But the problem is, if it is not a dead site, you will 100%, not 90%, not 80%, 100% run into cheating rings there. Because they have no downside. If I were running a cheating ring, I would jump on this thing. I would jump on it. Why would you not cheat if you're a cheater? If you don't mind cheating, if all you do is cheat, if you're a poker cheater, why would you not cheat on a site where they can't take your money if you're caught? Why would you not? Tell me. Think about it. I have this question for the Phantom Poker CEO, who probably will listen to this at some point. Tell me why a poker cheating ring would not take residence on your site if you are successful. If there's a lot of games running, a lot of players there, why would they not do this? Why would they not cheat there if you can't take their money? And I don't want to hear back, oh, well, tell me how much money gets taken from other sites. That's not the question. I already answered that before, but that's not what I'm asking here. I'm saying, why wouldn't they? Because there is absolutely no downside. Tell me the downside to them being caught. Their names being publicized? Like some guy in a village in Eastern Europe's going to care? If that's your only deterrent, publicizing people's names, good luck. Oh, boy. So this thing's never going to work. The concept's flawed. The guy behind it, while not having anything terrible in his past, does have a trail of companies that seemingly don't work out. And it's also just too complicated for the average person. So even take away all these other problems, just the average person is going to find this very intimidating. Someone who's crypto savvy, yeah, they'll understand it. Could I play on there easily? Yes. Like, I would understand it. But I'm a technical person. I'm not a crypto savant like Jason Moe, but I know enough to where I'd be able to play here and also not get scammed or tricked. But the typical poker player, they don't necessarily have technical knowledge. A lot of poker players, especially the recreational players, what they just want to do is deposit money on easily and play. That's what they want. They don't want to hassle with crypto, learning crypto, getting a wallet. They don't want to do all this shit. They don't even understand this shit. They just want to get money on the site and play poker and have it easy and simple. That's what they want. And I'm not even saying they're stupid people. Like, take a doctor, for example. Doctors obviously have to have a brain to get through medical school. So these doctors aren't stupid. But a lot of doctors are just not very technical. A lot of doctors know very little about crypto. A lot of doctors have no desire to learn about crypto. So they may know a lot about medicine, but they don't know a lot about crypto and do not want to take the time to learn about crypto because they just don't have an interest in it. But they may like poker. They may like poker as a recreational player, and they make good money as a doctor. They'd like to play poker online. But they're not going to want to learn about all this shit to be able to get money on a crypto-only site. Which is why any crypto-only site is not big. There's not a single crypto-only poker site in history that has been big. There's been other crypto poker sites, but they've never been big. They never will be big. So that right there is a problem in that it's not going to be big. Jason Moe said at best they'll get mediocre traffic. I totally agree. And that's very, very, very optimistic to say that they'll get mediocre traffic. That really is at very, very best. Now, what about the pros who are promoting them? Should they hang their heads in shame? Should they run away screaming? Well, not necessarily. Alan Kessler is now joining this train. And some people are surprised to see this because Alan Kessler never promoted anything before. This is what he wrote. Exciting news. You all know me and that my reputation in the industry is unscathed. I wouldn't support something unless I truly believed in their mission and believed in their integrity. I'm proud to announce that I joined the Phantom Poker app team. The future of poker is here. And then he goes on to explain it. And you can tell that he was given this because a lot of this is the same language used by Alec Torelli. And this also doesn't sound like anything Kessler would write. Sean Deeb responded, Alan, this is not the first thing to endorse. Hear plenty of bad stories about high-up staff and their business model. It's failed so many times prior. I'm surprised that this is the one that Alan Kessler chose to endorse. I don't think I've ever seen him endorse something before. I've been around for a long time. I've known Alan Kessler for a long time. I don't think I've ever seen him endorse something before. I don't know how they talked him into it. How did they get Kessler in on this? That's what I want to know. What did they tell him to do this? Is this just his first opportunity? It's so strange. To my knowledge, Kessler is not a crypto expert either. He knows a lot about slot machines, but he doesn't know about crypto very well, to my knowledge. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've never seen him talk about crypto. He's just never really been a technical guy. So again, this is someone who, while not stupid, you know, Alan Kessler has a brain, but this is just not his field. And he's been sold this as the future of poker, and he puts this out there saying, hey, I don't promote things lightly. Well, yeah, this is why. Hey, don't promote things lightly like this, because this is the wrong one to promote. So you guys are not promoting a scam. That's the good part, because everybody does manage their own funds. Everybody manages their own wallet. I think it will be like real poker in that it's not going to be rigged or anything. I mean, you don't know for sure, but my guess would be, it's not going to be rigged. It's going to be a typical online poker experience, albeit with these gimmicks. But I don't think it's going to have traffic. If it does have traffic, it's going to have the major problem with cheating rings. And then it's got these other potential technical flaws that Jason Moe has pointed out. And the CEO, as I said, has a long trail of failed businesses, or businesses that didn't quite get off the ground, or ones that he left. He's got a history that's a little bit questionable. So before you promote something like this, you always should ask those in the know. When you get an opportunity to promote something like this, before doing it and just taking the free piece of equity they're giving you, maybe you should go to somebody who has crypto knowledge, who also plays poker, and say, hey, does this sound like a good idea? Does this sound like it'll work? And if the person says no, then don't do it. It's very easy to promote something where you feel it's a free roll, where you feel, okay, they're giving you a percentage of the company. If it makes money, great. If it doesn't, I don't lose anything. But that's how a lot of these poker pros end up promoting things that are not good, things that sometimes even hurt people, things where people end up out a lot of money. Think of Phil Hellmuth with Bitcoin Latinum and these other failed projects that he has promoted. Think Phil Ivey and some of the dumb things he's promoted. Think of the Grinder, Michael Mizrachi, who's promoted a lot of dumb shit. Think of Johnny Chan, who has promoted a lot of dumb shit. These are big names. And they're very easily talked into promoting dumb shit. So don't be that person. Now, the good news is, again, I don't think anyone's going to get scammed here. It's just an idea that's not going to work. And you'll see, when time has passed, that will be the end of this story. It just didn't work. It just didn't catch on. It just didn't go anywhere. It's not the future of poker, nor will any site like this be the future of poker, because you cannot have a site where it is impossible to punish the bad actors. Once you have that, you don't have a poker site. You have chaos. Well, thank you for listening to this special show. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm sorry I don't have 6 hours to talk to put you to sleep. Well, I have the time, I just don't have the voice. I know you'd like it. I know you've been waiting all this time. You've been waiting 7 weeks, and I give you a one-hour show. It's disappointing, if it even is an hour. I'm not really timing it. It kind of feels like an hour. But it's better than nothing. I could just sit here waiting for eternity until my cough goes away. It may never go away. I could be here in 30 years, my cough still be here. But at some point, I have to say, am I going to do the show with a cough or not? And I said, that is it. I'm just going to do it. It's kind of a test. Test went pretty well, though. It was successful. Unlike Phantom Poker will be. So maybe next time I'll do a two-hour show. And not in 7 weeks. I'll do it very soon. Okay? I have a bunch of things that I'd like to talk about, as you might imagine. The 7 weeks have passed. Gotten this one out of the way. We may or may not make this, tack this onto the next show, just in recorded format. But just know that this segment was recorded on the early morning of August 24th. So thank you for listening. I hope some of you caught me live. If you didn't, this will be in the archives when I get a chance to edit it, which fortunately won't take long this time because it's a short show, so it's easy to edit. Isn't that great? Funny how this all works out. I have a right to play end music here. Feels a little funny to play closing music when the show is so short. But I'm doing it. Wouldn't feel like it's the end of a show if I didn't play the end music. Some people thought that I've quit the show forever. That's why it's just gone. Others thought that perhaps something happened to me. And I just can't do it. Maybe a major health problem. Maybe I've gone broke. Maybe I've had some sort of terrible life situation occur. That has not happened. Just long COVID in the form of a cough. I went to the Dodgers a few nights ago. It's the Mariners. I went with a Poker Fraud Alert listener who mentioned he was in town. He wasn't from L.A., but he mentioned he was in town, and I went with him. In fact, there's another Poker Fraud Alert listener who wants to go with me this upcoming week. And I'll probably do that as well. Since I like the Dodgers, if you're going to the Dodgers anyway, and we've talked before, maybe I'll go with you. A lot of times I take my son, but yeah, it's nice to sometimes go with other adults. I always like meeting listeners. Now, the guy I just went with, I've met before, but it's always enjoyable to meet listeners, go do things like Dodger games, whatever. Anyway, 775-372-8355 is my text number if you'd like to text me for any reason, at any time. Whatever's on your mind, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I will probably respond to you unless I see it and I read it and I fall back asleep and I forget about you. It's possible, too. Good night, everybody. And shalom.